Amen. You might take your seats and turn with me to Luke chapter 1, as we will continue later again with our series through Exodus. Luke chapter 1, and we read from verse 26 through verse 38. And then we will also read a few verses from Galatians chapter 4. This is the word of God. Receive it as such. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And then we also read in verse 45, "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Then also from Galatians chapter 4, for the sake of the context, I'm just going to read from verse 16, because verse 19 is in the beginning of middle of a sentence, kind of. Galatians chapter 4, verse 16. Paul writes to the churches in Galatia, "Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you." I'm going to focus on verse 19, "my little children for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you," together with what we have read from the birth of Christ in Luke chapter 1. Now, beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we all know, tomorrow is traditionally the celebration of Christ's birth. We celebrate Christmas. It's not a God-given ordinance, but we use this time to think about the amazing incarnation of Jesus Christ and his coming to this earth. And I guess we must be thankful that it is still on our American calendar. Well, I said that, I remember a time back in South Africa that even Ascension Day was a public holiday, believe it or not. Ascension, that is one of the most important things that even we do not always focus so much on, although I have since I'm in pastor here in this church. But later, because of the changing winds of anti-Christianity that blew over the country, that completely changed, and it's not a public holiday anymore. Now, perhaps it won't happen to Christmas, because even though Christians celebrate the birth of Christ, the average American has found yet another day to indulge and to feed his desire to spend money even to the limits of putting himself into levels of debt that would take him years to get out of, if at all. I want to focus on two things this morning, and this is that is first, Jesus formed in Mary, and then Jesus Christ formed in us. Now, the passage that we read with the birth of Christ being told to us is a passage I believe we all know very well. I remember as a young boy in a public school that we were even taught that, to recite that at a concert at one point. A passage that is, unfortunately, in a sense, often romanticized. Well, some forget that many of the events that took place actually reveal to us the hostile world and how hostile the world was toward Christ from the moment of his birth. King Herod, after hearing that he was fooled by the Magi, gave the order, and thousands of babies under the age of 2 were killed. Hostility, genocide, fear doesn't sound very romantic to me. Now, read passage after the angel Gabriel told Mary exactly what happened and what God is about to do. A response was, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word." Now, much could be said about Mary, and some mainstream churches do that when they focus on these events. But it is not the purpose of the scriptures to elevate Mary. It is also not the purpose of scripture to encourage us to mimic her or to follow her or even worship her. But our passage shows us one thing very clearly. Knowing that she and Joseph lived a chaste life before the Lord, Mary asked, how would it be possible for her to be with child? And the angel answered her. We read his answer in Luke 1:35, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason the holy offspring shall be called the Son of God." Mary received even grace to believe what she was told. And looking back at her life, her certainty definitely was not anchored in the performance of Jesus in the temple as a 12-year-old when he taught the spiritual leaders of Israel, who were amazed by his wisdom. Neither was it founded in the miracles that he performed during his ministry. No, she believed the word of God when it came to her. She heard that the new life that will soon be visible in her body was conceived without Joseph, and that God, the Holy Spirit, came over her and started that life in her. That was necessary. It was necessary that it happened in this way, so that sin, through when Joseph was taken out of the picture, that sin could not continue from one generation to another. I cannot imagine how overwhelmed she had to be when she felt that first movement inside her womb. What a confirmation of what she believed. Not that she first had to experience the life in her before she believed it. No, according to verse 38, she said, "May it be done to me according to your word." How could she question the power of the Almighty when she held that little child for the first time in her arms? Yes, her faith in the Word of God was later confirmed at many different occasions. She saw him growing up with wisdom and zeal. She saw him performing miracles, like he changed the water into wine, calmed the storms, cast out the devils, and brought the dead even to life. And even when he hung on the cross to pay for the sins of his people, and a sword, we read, cut through her soul figuratively, even then she knew not a human being, but the Spirit of the Almighty God has awakened this life in her. It was through God, the Holy Spirit, that Jesus was formed in her. Now, you know, for a church like the Roman Catholic Church, Mary is regarded as someone holy and is more honored than any other woman who ever lived. She's regarded even as sinless. She's even the one they have to pray for and is actually her mediator. We cannot agree with these teachings, but she was indeed a favored woman. But not because of something in and of herself that caused God to choose her for this work. She was blessed because God, in His sovereignty, chose her to form His Son in her. That is why the Bible tells us in verse 28 that she was highly favored. And in verse 42, she is called blessed among women. But again, He did not make her holy. It was never about her or any special quality in her that made her so great. No, it was always and only about God, who decided, as I said, to form His Son inside of her. And as I have said, but want to say it again, something that was crucially important, because Jesus had to be fully man in order to pay for the sins of man, yet without sin. That is why the chain of original sin had to be broken. But now I want us to focus on the passage that we read from Galatians chapter 4:19 and see what God has in us, and I call it Jesus Christ form in us, basically on the words, with the words that we find in the passage. My little children, from whom again I am in anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. What we hear here is a pastor that is pleading with his people. Paul was worried about the spiritual state of the churches in Galatia. Many of those belonging to the churches were converted from the Gentiles. They knew nothing about the Jewish practices. And at first, all went well in these churches, but then came in slick preachers who came among them and taught them heresy and confused them completely. What Paul said about the church is, at first, they were doing great. He says they began in the Spirit, according to verse 3 in chapter 3. And in chapter 5, verse 7, he says, they were running well, he said. It's like an athlete, you know, in a race. He said they were doing great. They were on the pace set for them. They were focused. They did the right thing. They believed the right things. In chapter 3, verse 4, he even said they suffered many things in the cause of the gospel. And of course, he also praised them for the love that they had for the apostle, because it was really extraordinary. In chapter 4, verse 14 and 15, you can read that. He said they received him as an angel of God. And then he says, even as Christ himself. Now, I'm sure he put that and corrected that very quickly with him. But he said that they treated him so well. He said they would have plucked out their own eyes and would have given it to Paul. That's how much they loved him. And you know, so often, that is how a church starts. And yet man is frail and gullible. And that's how you see it in these churches, how things changed very quickly. After these false teachers came in and confused them, their whole attitude towards Paul changed. They eventually turned against Paul, even though he preached the truth and nothing but the truth to them. Paul became their enemy. And I tell you, that is how Satan so often destroys churches and divides churches. These false teachers corrupted the gospel with a mixture of Jewish teaching and imposed ceremonies and law, ceremonies of the law and traditions of their elders to these Christians from the Gentiles. They presented these ceremonies as perpetual and universal obligations that had to be held and had to be done by these people who were not Christians from the Jews. So what they say, if I can say it just in simple words, is they say, if you want to be a true Christian, you first had to fulfill all these Jewish rituals and ceremonies. You must obey the law of God first in order to be saved. Could you believe that that is where they went with the teaching that Paul has given them? After all that Paul has told them about the law and the gospel, how clearly did he not preach the gospel to them? That it's all about faith in Jesus Christ. He even said, he preached it so clearly that they actually could see Christ hanging on the cross. And so many in the churches of Galatia listened to these false teachings, and by doing so, they eventually come to the point where they neglected Jesus Christ and his work of atonement. And it is this state of these churches who have changed their direction and started to walk away from the truth, started walking away from Jesus Christ as the only grounds of our salvation, that left the apostle very perplexed. He compared his concern and love for them with a mother who is in childbirth and cannot wait for the baby to be born. He said, my children with whom I again are in labor until Christ is formed in you. So the apostle was hoping that Christ would eventually be formed in them. He was hoping that they were indeed born from above. And he said he will continue to be concerned and minister to them until he was certain that they were made new creatures after the image of Christ. This is how Reverend Samuel Davis, a pastor that lived in 1723 through 1761, this is how he put it. He says, the apostle will continue until the sacred fetus be formed in their hearts, until the heavenly embryo grew and matured for birth, until they be conformed to Jesus Christ in heart and practice. Till then, like a good pastor, he could never be at ease. You know, that's something that scares me, even as a pastor. Because we are responsible for the eternal salvation of our people. The state of your faith. You are responsible for salvation in Christ, right? But we have to watch over you. Make sure that you're on the right path. That you have in life, in practice, and in what you believe and what you apply in your life, that you do right. It's a huge responsibility to be a shepherd. And I hope that you will continue to pray for the shepherds in this church, that we do that well, and that we always continue to preach the truth to you. Go and read Hebrews chapter 13, and you will see what I'm talking about. So Paul says, let Christ be formed in us. And we must understand what he means by that, because it sounds like, you know, kind of a strange way. But Paul had a strange way of sometimes saying things. Peter sometimes said, you know, things that Paul wrote was so difficult, even he did not always understand it. In chapter 4, verse 12, he made the statement, become as I am. And now he's saying, let Christ be formed in you. Now, you will immediately ask, but was Paul arrogant to think that he was such a great man that we all must follow his example and do as he did? No, but remember what I often say. If you are not understanding a passage in Scripture well, we always have to compare Scripture with Scripture. So go to other passages in Scripture. That is one of the golden rules of good exegesis. So if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, there we read the following. Galatians 2, verse 20. I have been crucified, he says, with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see why I could say, be as I am? Because what Paul is saying here, he said, I died in Christ. You died in Christ. I was raised into a new life, so you as well. And then he says, live now by faith in the Son of God in such a way that his life in you shapes and forms you in every way. It is Paul's way of saying, you cannot claim to be saved, but your life looks no different. When in Christ, you cannot still be the same old man, excusing yourself the whole time for your bad behavior, because that is just how you are, right? You cannot continue, for instance, to gossip and hurt people with what you're saying, because that is just how you are. No, because now, if Christ lives in you, you have a guard before your mouth. Your love is now focused not on yourself, but on others. Why? Because Christ is in you. Paul wanted to see that Christ's holy image was stamped on their hearts, truly, as these churches in Galatia. But not only their hearts, it also had to be visible in their lives. This is how it has to be in every Christian's life. Paul says it in a different way in Romans chapter 8, 9. He says there, however, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Our lives must resemble the life of Christ in all respects. You see, this teaching of Paul was completely in opposition to the teaching of the Judaizers. If you look back to verse 17, for instance, the Judaizers, they were all about praising themselves. That was what motivated them. They wanted people to esteem them highly and wanted people to depend on them. And everyone they circumcised elevated their sense of success and pride. Paul did not want to be made much of. Did he not say he desired to become less and Christ become more in him? Yes, indeed. And that was his desire for all those he ministered to. Yes, God ministers to us today in the same way, through his word and through his Spirit, with this intent that Christ be formed in us more and more. So you have to ask yourself every time when you're under the teaching of God's word, has that happened? Were you formed and shaped so that Christ become visible in your life? Yes, that means that the presence of Christ must be real in us, that we become one with him more and more. One more quote that I want to add in 2 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul says, because we have this treasure in us, we are like earthen vessels. He says, we always carry about in our bodies the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. So if Christ is formed in you, it means Christ takes controls of you. He takes controls of our lives. And the focus will be less upon us and our own desires and preferences, but always and more upon Christ. Now, it's a fair question to ask, but how is it formed in us? How is Christ formed in us? I think we already partly said that, but I think there's a few things that I want to just quickly mention. I think a defining moment is when we realize by God's grace that we are so far away from God's divine image and that we are completely in a state of misery and that we need salvation because we cannot save ourselves. And by God's grace, many of us were at that point in our lives. But it's not only a one-time realization. No, it's also a continuous realization of full dependency on God. Not only can I not save myself, I also cannot change myself. I cannot renew myself. Only God can do that. And He does it through His means of grace that He blessed the church with. In the Old Testament, He did it through ample ceremonies. Today, in the New Testament church, He does it through prayer, through the hearing of His word, the gospel, and the sacraments. And when these means became more and more important to you, when these means became more than lifeless formalities to you, but means that you need for your soul, for your survival in life, daily, then Christ was formed in you. And then you will also make sure that nothing prevents the forming of Christ in you. Christ is not formed in you when you are enjoying the beauty of creation or when you watch a faith-based movie or when you serve or doing good to others. No. Those are fruits. No, He's formed in us when our faith is formed and shaped through His word and sacraments and prayer, when we come under the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Because that is what He gave His church for our sanctification, to become more Christ-like. So here are a few things that you might go and think about as we celebrate Christmas this year. The number of Christmas decorations, and I say that with a tongue in the cheek, the number of Christmas decorations you put out is not an indication of the degree of your Christianity. It's so often just the opposite. But you need to ask yourself, when you celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, was He also formed in you? He was formed in Mary, the real child, who eventually became the King of Kings. Was He also formed in me? Is Christ living in me? Is He recognizable in what I say and do? And in what sense? In the sense that all the focus in my life is upon Him and not upon myself. In the sense that He receives all the honor and the glory for our salvation, and not my efforts. Yes, then we will experience the fullness of Christ one day, and only then, when we are united with our Savior and King and we stand before Him who is our perfect righteousness. But till then, remember how perplexed the apostle was about the fading faith of the churches in Galatia, and ask yourself whether your faith is not perhaps also fading. Perhaps there is someone, perhaps you sit next to that one today, who is really perplexed about your faith or the lack thereof. Perhaps you have grown up in the church, but ever since you left your parents' home, you have neglected everything that you were taught. Perhaps you have not taught about have not thought about your faith and whether you are truly in Christ or not, because life got its way with you. Now is the time then to examine yourself. Because the same apostle told the congregation in Corinth to do so. He said, examine yourself to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Perhaps you are grieving the Holy Spirit because you have become lukewarm like the Laodiceans. Perhaps because your spiritual walk with Christ is shallow and superficial and is never deep enough to say no to the pressures of the world, to the evil one and your sinful nature. Perhaps you still have the zeal for the Lord, but there is never any sorrow over your sins and times where you are just lying helpless before the Lord. Helpless, knowing, Lord, I can do nothing. I need you. And you wait upon His salvation, upon His answers, and upon His forgiveness. Perhaps it's a good time at this time of the year to ask, are you further from the kingdom of God today than 3 months or 6 months or a year ago? Is it because you gave up on your clear convictions of sin and the dangers of this world? Is it because you thought you were strong enough and gave up on the means of grace that God has given to us who are weak? The reading of His Word. Not feeling the need for worship anymore. Not seeing the necessity for prayer anymore. Have your life begun to focus on yourself and your own success and your family instead of on Jesus Christ and His body and the church? Christmas is a good time to think about these things. Mary was special because the child Jesus, through the work of the Holy Spirit, was formed in her. One and the same Holy Spirit forms Christ in us. It is He who establishes a new life in us. He is the one who makes us, who once were dead in sin, alive. But through His Spirit, He also continues to form Christ in us. And if He's in you, you will not only celebrate His birth, but also, as I prayed, would eventually go further and celebrate the fact that He died, that He conquered the grave, that He ascended into heaven, and that He reigns in us now through His Word. And then we will also have, I believe, this never-ending desire that Christ not only be formed in us, but that His divine image will improve and become more and more clear, almost to the fact of perfect, which we know will not be in this life, but that desire that it will be perfect in us. And we will place ourselves under the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this church more faithfully in the new year, so that Christ could be formed in us for the glory of God. And God's people say, Amen. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, that we celebrate the birth of Christ and how You have in eternity decided to use Mary to form His body in her so that He could be born as truly man but without sin, to pay for the sins of man also because He was truly God. Oh Lord, but we thank You that when You have reborn us, that You have indeed come and make a living in us, that Christ is formed in us. And Lord, we pray that through Your Holy Spirit and the means of grace, You will continue to form Him even clearer in our lives, so that in everything we do, Lord, He would become more and we less, and You will receive the glory and not us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing hymn number 300 and sing Glory, Lord, and Honor to God. receive God's blessing and go from here in peace. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work and word. Amen.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.